Are you ready, Alabama?
Oh, the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
love the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
You say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, this week, but I'm not.
Welcome back, hour number three, Tom Abraham Show. Glad that you are with us on this day that started out with Alabama knocking out Texas A&M in dramatic fashion. If you missed it, we'll have the highlight for you again a little bit later on in the show, but you heard it right here on the ump, and man, I'll tell you what, that was dramatic. 27 points out of Colin Sexton, including the running floater with as time ran out, basically, after T.J. Starks had put Texas A&M up with 4.4 seconds to go. It looked like it was over for Alabama. Their chance now, tomorrow they play Auburn. They're not in the tournament yet, folks. They're not in the tournament yet, but they have an excellent – they have a much better chance than they would have had if they lost, that's for sure. They definitely would have been out of the tournament. The most controversial guy in the upcoming NFL draft has got to be Baker Mayfield. Plus, by the way, another team that could be out of the tournament is Oklahoma. Joey Helmer does a tremendous job down there covering Oklahoma, and he joins us now. He's with OU Insider, which I think is the rival site down there, and Joey joins us now on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. Joey, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Am I lying? Is Oklahoma in or out? What do you think, man, for the basketball?
Yeah, they certainly haven't done themselves any favor, down the last – months of the season here. They just have not been able to figure anything out. I think, it's really kind of spiraled out of control ever since they played Oklahoma State the first time. And issues for them have a lot of times just been effort. You know, last night they got out-rebounded by 26, which is just unbelievable. And 8 of rebounds they gave up. And that's just been a trend, the effort with this team. And I think at the end of the day, they're going to get into the tournament, but I'm not so sure they're not going to find themselves in Dayton next week and it happen to play a play-in game.
Yeah, and it's indicative of this whole college basketball season this year. What was the high water mark for them? That I want to say at one point in time they were like number 5 in the country, but how high were they ranked?
Yeah, they got all the way up to 4th in the country, and
they were 4th.
People actually, the bracketologist had them as a 1 seed at one point in time, and a 2 seed by almost everyone else's projection. So they were on that 1-2 line kind of back in the month of January before, like I said, things spiraled out of control. Stillwater and lost a lot of close games. And then just a team that had down the stretch, just a way to lose games. They found a way to lose them almost every going out. But they were one of the nation's at one point, and obviously Trey Young's been the star of the show and calling all and leading the country and scoring and assists, but it just hasn't been enough with this team.
Yeah. Joey Helmer with us from OU Insider. All right, let's talk Baker Mayfield. This guy is he's got to be the most controversial, not necessarily in a bad way. he just can't and I know it's not fair, and I've been I could be accused of doing this myself with the Johnny Manziel comparisons throughout the regular season. He just can't shake that, and it's probably not fair, but tell us from a game standpoint and then from an off the field standpoint why he's not Johnny Manziel.
Well, I actually wrote a piece about this. I think it was back in November. It was during the season about how those comparisons really need to stop because, you know, he's made some mistakes, obviously some foolish stuff, the running from the cops in Arkansas last offseason and things of that nature. But you look at the guy on the field and that to me, when you look at Johnny Manziel, you could see where Baker Mayfield genuinely loves playing college football and loves being around his teammates. His teammates gravitate to him. Whereas when you look at Johnny Manziel, you don't really see all that or didn't really see those kinds of traits. And so this is obviously is a really a team first guy. In all those instances when he made those mistakes, he was real quick to come out, you know, apologize and admit that he did something wrong. And so I think once he meets with a lot of the scouts of teams, that they're seeing a lot of what his true personality is.
Mm-hmm. We saw some of that with Johnny Manziel. I remember the famous words. I was there at the SEC Media Days when, you know, when he was, look, I'm just 20 years old. I'm just doing what a 20-year-old kid does. And, you know, he'd do something stupid and apologize. He just apologized last week for going on a bender in 2016 in Vegas, you know, during a Browns off week or something like that. And, you know, it falls on deaf ears. But, you know, certainly with Baker Mayfield, talk about his game on the field because, again, we've seen him at the number one pick in a lot of these projections. Some people are saying, you know, the Browns are going to take him one. Others say the Browns will take him four. Others got the Jets at six. You know, this is a guy that, you know, midway through the season, I don't think a lot of people thought that he was necessarily in that same mix as Rosen and Darnold and those guys, Josh Allen. And now he is in that same conversation as to being potentially the number one quarterback taken.
I think for the longest time, a lot of people questioned his size and things like that. But you look, and for those of us that have followed him throughout his career, he makes all the throws that an NFL quarterback. You can look at all the downfield throws that he made throughout his career at OU. But what really stood out to me where I said, wow, that right there is what an NFL quarterback does. And it was a pass on a slant over the middle to Mark Andrews in the Big 12 championship, where he just threw it on a rope between like five different defenders and got it for a big touchdown. Those are the kinds of plays, you know, that he's capable of making. I think he's a very instinctive player in terms of, you know, his pocket presence and things like that. I think obviously when he first came to Oklahoma, he was in Josh Heupel's system, and they ran more under center stuff that you'll see in the NFL. So he's capable of doing that as well. I think a lot of teams are a little bit concerned about that and how the difference between his offense under Lincoln Riley and what he'll maybe do in the NFL. But a kid that I certainly think also has all the intangibles of an NFL quarterback as well.
Is he a guy, I think it was Barry Switzer that made the comment about, you know, I'd make a move and he's not as effective on the move as he is in the pocket. Is he a guy that, you know, that tends to jump out of the pocket a little bit earlier than they'd like them to, or is he a kid that'll stay in there and let things develop?
Well, I think that's going to be the key for him. Is he going to be able to, you know, stay in the pocket and be comfortable there? Because that's, I think, a lot of what teams are concerned about with him by seeing how much he's, you know, scrambled and throws on the run, which he does incredibly well. But, you know, he's going to have patience in the pocket and poise and trust his offensive line, whatever team he is with.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a time when I thought, you know, I mean, a lot of people thought that he might be at the end of the first round to the Saints, which would be the perfect place for him to, you know, spend a couple of years under a guy like Drew Brees, another undersized quarterback that has had great success. But now there's no chance that he's gonna last that long. And you know, do you worry that he ends up someplace where they throw him right on the field? Because if he's taken to the Jets or if he's taken to the Browns or some of these other places, they're liable to, you know, he's their day one starter. If he goes to the Dolphins, I've seen a number of picks where he goes to the Dolphins, you know, maybe they go with Ryan Tannehill for a year or two and he gets a chance to develop. Do you think it's better for him to be in that kind of situation, or is he got the right mindset that if he does get taken one overall, that he's ready to go play now?
Well, he's going to have to have the right pieces around him, I think, to where if he plays right away. I believe that it would be better for him if he fell in a spot like Miami, if you said, like you said, or New Orleans behind Drew Brees, where he could kind of have him as a mentor for, you know, a little bit. But I think that's the better route for him. But again, if he's to play right away, he's going to have some weapons around him to help him, you know, obviously fit in immediately.
Yeah. All right. So, but from off the field stuff, no concern for you at all. I mean, you don't look at this guy and say, oh, this is a guy that's going to be a problem. I mean, this is a guy that's going to do the work. Because the biggest issue I had with Manziel was is that he didn't do the work off the, you know, the players didn't like him. The scouting report I read from the Patriots were that his teammates were always pissed off at him because he wasn't in the film room. He only knew about 60% of the playbook and things like that. And in the NFL, it's such a cerebral game. That's a big, big, important part. But it seems like Baker Mayfield, he's a guy that you know, wants to eat that playbook up and is willing to do the off-the-field work.
Yeah, he's a true student. I mean, and that's what I was kind of alluding to, where the biggest difference, in my opinion, between him and Manziel, you ask every single one of Baker Mayfield's teammates at Oklahoma, obviously the distractions were there with some of his incidents, but this is a guy that was team first. Like I said, teammates related to him all the time, and his teammates loved him. So, yeah, I'm not as concerned, I don't think, as well with his character.
Joey Helmer with us, OU Insider. All right, before I let you go, how rattled were you by what Orlando Brown did? And was that something that surprised you or not? And do you think that should impact him? Is that a bigger deal than his, you know, what his tape says?
Well, I'll say this. I was very surprised with his performance there. I don't think anyone ex 14 reps in the pitch. That was shocking. But I believe if the guy falls to, you know, the fourth or fifth round, like some people are starting to say now, that someone is going to get a tremendous on Orlando Brown. I think potential really good pro written on him. And so it could really benefit a team.
Yeah. I don't know about falling to the fourth or fifth round. I mean, I could see him falling out of the top or out of the first round, but he wouldn't last deep into the second round, I don't think. All right, Joey Helmer has been our guest from OU Insider. Joey, I appreciate you, man. Thanks. No, T-Mac, he could fall out of the first round. I mean, this is a guy that was a middle first-round guy we're talking about. You know, here's the funny thing. If you said in November, oh, Johnny or Baker Mayfield will go, you know, 30 picks before Orlando Brown, people would have put you in a straitjacket.
Oh, my
right?
God,
I mean, they would have thought you're absolutely out of your tree. They used to talk about Orlando Brown being a top 10 pick and Baker Mayfield squeezing into the first round, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about the straitjacket deal, because I made a comment, I think it was sometime in October, I believe, when Oklahoma squeezed one out against Kansas State, and I was very frustrated about Baker Mayfield getting the ball taken out of his hands and it going to the Wildcat offense. And I said Lincoln Riley has to fix something about taking the ball out of the best quarterback in the country's hands, and you chastised me for making that comment about him being the best quarterback in college football. So, yeah, you're exactly right. If I had said that back then, do what?
Because he's not the best quarterback in college football.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was not the best quarterback in college football. He may have been the best player in college football, when you combine his other, you know, all of his skills, but I still will tell you right now that Baker Mayfield was not the best quarterback in college football. I don't believe that. I do think that Josh Rosen is a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield, and we'll go ahead of him in the draft. I'm not so sure that Josh Allen isn't a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield was the best player.
Part of that is you have to show it.
I got to say, best college player in college football.
If you're going to be the best quarterback in a football season where you have the chance to prove it, then you have to prove it. You might have all the intangibles and all that, but you have to show it at some time. Josh Allen didn't look great this year. Josh Rosen played cupcake defenses just like Oklahoma did in the Big 12, and some good defenses sprinkled in there like Oklahoma did against Ohio State and even TCU. And Baker Mayfield, in every measurable statistic, kicked Josh Rosen's ass.
Yeah.
The yards, the efficiency, and the completion percentage is what's impressive to me. He's a very accurate quarterback. He's got better zip on it. I saw that all season than anybody else saw. I mean, he was the best quarterback in college football.
No. Maybe best player, not best quarterback. I don't think so. And I think Allen has a better – I think at the combine we saw that Allen was more impressive in terms of his ability to throw the ball. The thing is with Allen, what would Josh Allen have done if he was with Oklahoma? What would he have done with those guys, with those running backs and those wide receivers?
He wouldn't have put it up like Mayfield did.
Guys. Oh, you don't think so?
Well, nope, I don't think so.
I don't know. What did Pete Prisco say? Josh Allen was playing with future bartenders and waiters or something like that. I mean, he didn't have an awful lot around him. I'm just saying. And you can't always go by – that would be like saying like people who thought – Alabama fans who thought that A.J. McCarron was a first-round draft pick or a second-round draft pick coming out. He wasn't. He ends up being a fifth-round draft pick. And he earned that fifth-round draft pick. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He earned that fifth-round draft pick.
Well, I agree with that. And A.J. McCarron, I think a lot of that had to do with how A.J. McCarron was perceived down the stretch of his senior year. I mean, they got into the Sugar Bowl against Oklahoma and found out really quick that he's not used to handling pressure at all. He was very bad under pressure. He let a lot of things show under pressure. And to compare him to Baker Mayfield has had to prove every step of the way that he can do this. When you say he's good at this, but he can't do that, he has to go out and show you that he can do that. He's just got a different mentality that makes up for not having all of the natural ability. He works for it. And I think that's what separates him.
You need to have a lot of natural ability in the NFL.
I'm not saying he doesn't have it. He doesn't have as much as Rosen and definitely not as much as Allen. I think Josh Allen is very naturally gifted. But Baker Mayfield just reminds me of those guys that have to work harder to get the same result as a lot of these guys, and he's one of those. I mean, he two-time walk-on. He didn't have it. He worked for it. It wasn't naturally given to him.
That two-time walk-on thing is scary. You know what I mean? I mean, because that's still a scary thing. Because, you know, right place, right time, perfect storm, you know, all of that kind of good stuff. But it's still that two-time walk-on thing is something. And that's the thing that's scary, man. He's a scary prospect. That risk-reward deal, he's a scary prospect, man. Tell me about other quarterbacks in the NFL that were walk-ons twice in college football. It doesn't happen. I mean, that's the thing. And there are so many guys that were great college quarterbacks that had wonderful college talent. And guys like Vince Young. Vince Young was a tremendous college quarterback, one of the best college quarterbacks ever. Everybody always says, well, Vince Young, yeah, but he didn't throw it the way, you know, he could run it. Vince Young had the highest passer rating in the country the year he came out. He had a 157 and change passer rating. It was the highest passer rating in the country the year he came out. And he was running for 150 yards a game. Great, great college quarterback.
I get that. But
I'm playing
I don't...
devil's advocate. I mean, on the other, there are times when I think that maybe he could be great, but there's other times I think he's a 30-70 prospect, and that's what scares the hell out of me.
I understand.
I don't think that he's a 70-30 guy or an 80-20 guy.
I understand the concern, and I've had concerns of him going pros for a very long time. Even though I said he was the best college quarterback in the country back when I said it, I still didn't think he was going to do much in the pros. It's the Brent Sobolewskis and everybody else that have really convinced me that he might be able to do something. But he was a late bloomer, that's for sure. And that, I think that goes back to him really not having the natural gift growing up that these other guys did. He worked for it. That's part of it. And then a lot of it came to him later. But what did you mean by right place, right time with the walk-on stuff?
No, I mean, I think that the him going to Oklahoma was the perfect storm. You know, he was in the right place at the right time when he got to Oklahoma, where he was able to thrive, loaded talent, wide open system, right offensive coordinator. But he was just the right guy at the right time.
But when he went to Oklahoma, he wasn't guaranteed that spot. He announced his transfer to Oklahoma like almost immediately after Trevor Knight destroyed Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. Everybody thought he was crazy for going to Oklahoma. He went out there and beat Trevor Knight out of a starting job, which wasn't that hard to do after Trevor Knight did that season he did the very next year. But even before then, Baker Mayfield went there not knowing that Trevor Knight was going to crap his pants the next year. He went there saying, I'm going to beat this guy out of his job, and I'm going to play at Oklahoma. And he did. He earned that.
He was the right guy in the right place. By the way, speaking of Oklahoma, statement from Titans general manager John Robinson. I want to thank DeMarco Murray for his contributions as a Titan, not only for what he did on the field, but also in the locker room and in the community. He was a pro in every facet, and we wish his family and him and his family the best moving forward. That means DeMarco Murray has been released by the Titans.
Wow. Yeah. That means I have a throwback Titans jersey now.
You got a DeMarco Murray jersey?
Yes, I got it the summer before he joined the Titans.
Oh, really? Okay. He gave him one great year, man. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He gave him one great year and one decent year. A lot of injuries last year. So it's interesting. That puts the Titans in the mix now for a running back as well in the draft. Not at the top, but they're going to need somebody behind Derrick Henry. But Derrick Henry is about to get his 25 carries a game, and we'll see whether or not he's an 1,800-yard rusher in the NFL. Because we all know what Derrick Henry did in college football. We all know what he did his senior year in college football, especially. I mean, he had a huge year, his final year in college football.
Derrick racked up an SEC record of more than 22,000 rushing yards.
So the question will be now, can he have 22,000 yards next season for the – I mean, look, he's gonna play – of course, I think they played 15 games that year. So he's going to play at least 16 games this time. I think he's good for 24,000 yards next year. What do you think, Obama?
Derrick racked up an SEC record of more than 22,000 rushing yards.
There you go.
Who wants to back that?
At least 20,000. He'll have at least 20,000 yards next year.
Who wants to back that guy up? You know what I mean? Like, if someone's getting carries enough to get that many yards, I'm not backing that dude up.
Well, depends on what kind of offense they're going to have now. No, I think if they're going to, you don't go someplace unless you're being drafted. I mean, saying I think I could see them taking it back in the second or third round now.
Oh, I hope so. In all reality, I really do hope that that it works out that way. But I'm excited to see Henry officially finally be the starting guy, the feature guy. We saw it a couple times, in the playoffs? But it was promised all last year that he was supposed to be the dude, and he was gonna emerge as the guy eventually in the season, and he was going to start getting the majority. I heard it all last year, and it didn't happen until late in the season, and it worked out when it happened. So I'm excited to see him get extended time as the dude.
Let's grab a break. When we come back, Old Blue Lines is up. We're talking some puck next. Hottest team in the NHL, 90 miles to the north of us in Nashville, and they go again tonight. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski next, right here at 730, 103.9 AM.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9, The Ump.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. Grasshopper.com/radio.
For 3 days only, you'll find amazing bargains at Madison RV sell-off sale. Last month's sale was so successful, we're loaded with premium units taken in trade. Madison RV is also restocked with 2019s and will still honor factory discounts. Make an offer on the RV you want. Travel trailers, fifth wheels, motorhomes, all ready for your inspection. These premium units are marked way down. 3 days only at Madison RV, off of 565 by the airport.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Card is back and on sale March 26th. This year's card features a round of golf, including a card at 7 area courses, and an hour session at an indoor golf simulator. Visit Gunner's Landing, Links at Redstone, Southern Gales, and Point Mallard. Enjoy a day out at these courses and more, including Pine Hill Country Club, Eagle's Nest, and Links at Briarmead. A $311 value for just $139. And also use it to perfect your swing at X Golf Huntsville. Log on to umpsports.com.
Veterans face treacherous situations filled with peril while serving our country. Many veterans come home physically injured, suffering with PTSD, have traumatic brain injuries or other ailments. Treatment is available, but we need your help. Help Heal Veterans, with the support of generous citizens like you, improves veterans' lives on a daily basis across the United States. For over 45 years, Help Heal Veterans has provided over 30 million therapeutic art kits and craft projects to these critically injured veterans, at no charge to them. Doctors, therapists, and brain injury experts recommend this type of therapy. Since the beginning of World War I, over 100 years ago, art and craft therapy has proven to improve gross motor skills, improve memory, and lessen anger issues in healing veterans. To volunteer or learn more, visit HealVets.org. Help a veteran. Visit HealVets.org.
America spends twice that of other developed countries on our healthcare system, yet our health ranks near the bottom. Primary care can help make America healthy again. To learn more, visit www.healthisprimary.org. This message is brought to you by America's Family Physicians.
The most dangerous day for a baby is the first day of life. Those first 24 hours that should be moments of joy take the lives of thousands of babies every day. In fact, every 30 seconds, another child is lost. They die from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. The worst part, it's preventable. For nearly 60 years, Project Hope has been working around the world to save the lives of mothers and babies at risk. Right now, Project Hope is training local healthcare workers to safely deliver and care for babies in those critical first moments of life. Project Hope is delivering medicines and medical supplies to prevent deadly disease, giving precious newborns the healthy start they need to survive and thrive. This tragedy can be stopped. Make sure her first day of life is not her last. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope's efforts to save newborns now, visit projecthope.org.
Weather is sponsored by CC's. Now at CC's, New York-style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies. On the buffet for just five and some chains for a limited time. Only at CC's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
A freeze warning in effect again tonight. The sky cleared, the low in the upper 20s, around 28. Colder pockets could see mid-20s. Tomorrow, a sunny day with a high at 60. Saturday, increasingly cloudy with a chance of showers. Rain becoming more widespread Saturday night, the high at 61. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Read the sign. Beware of dog. Tom Abraham is back.
Grateful Dead getting the Throwback Thursday treatment today. 45 years ago today, Ronald Charles McKernan, Pigpen McKernan, died at age
7:30 and 103.
We know what station it is. He was the founder with Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead, and died at age 27 because he didn't do drugs. He wouldn't do drugs like the rest of the guy. He'd rather drink alcohol, and ended up with liver disease and died at age 27. All right, joining us now, Old Blue Lines from ESPN. Our friend Greg Wyshynski talking a little puck. Greg, welcome in. How are you?
See, that's the problem, is that you have to learn from people like Keith Richards. You need to drink and do drugs.
Yeah.
And then that's the proper balance to strike for longevity.
It was funny. I don't want to say funny, but it was the most ironic part of the story of McKernan was that that he avoided all psychedelic drugs, unlike the rest of the members of the band, preferred alcohol, and by the time he was 25, he was on dialysis. I mean, he ended up dying of kidney disease at 27. So balance. I guess everything is about balance in life, isn't it?
It's about balance and hedonism, because obviously life is too short. So,
yes.
You know, just see as many colorful dancing bears as you can before it's your time.
There you go. That's it. You know what? That's words to live by from Greg Wyshynski. See dancing bears as many before you go. We're seeing a dancing bear right now in the Bridgestone Arena, because this Nashville Predator team is on fire, and I see that you guys have them now in your power rankings at number one. NHL.com has them at number one. Pretty much everybody's looking at the Preds now and saying that that's the best team in hockey for this week, and it's razor close, there's no doubt. My concern immediately becomes, man, I'd like this to be like the last 10 days of the regular season, not this, you know, 15 games out or so. Is there a thought that this Preds team, you know, this could be peaking too early, if you will?
You know, it's always a concern, I think, with any team. But I think with the Predators, you have to take into account that they had the run that they had last year. They kind of know what's at stake. They kind of know about conserving their energy and really approaching the playoffs as well as they can. The other thing too is, you know, I think they're a great example for a lot of other teams, where if you come into the playoffs and maybe you haven't had the greatest regular season, you know, to the standards that you were hoping for, all it takes is one good series to kind of put you on that rocket towards bigger and better things in the postseason. And obviously with the start that they had last year against Chicago, with the way the Pekka played, was that very thing. And you know, the other thing I'll say about that too is, you know, if you remember going into the playoffs last year, there were some questions about whether Pekka Rinne was going to be able to, you know, be the goalie that he ended up being in the playoffs for them. And I mean, it's pretty amazing to think back at that time and the run that he had, and then seeing what he's done this season and the sort of cementing of his reputation as one of the league's best goalies.
He never got the Vezina. Does he get the Vezina this year?
Tough call. I mean, I think there's a case to be made. I think the numbers between himself and Andrei Vasilevskiy of the Lightning, who I think would be the other prime candidate, are both stellar. The Predators are the best defensive team in hockey. The Lightning are the best offensive team in hockey. I think there's definitely going to be some support there. Sometimes you have to remember the general managers are the ones that vote for the Vezina Trophy, and sometimes it comes down to who the other candidates might be in each conference to siphon votes off. For Vasilevskiy, it might be looking at a Sergei Bobrovsky, for example. Columbus is going to get a lot of support. For Pekka Rinne, that might be someone like Jonathan Quick. It could be someone like John Gibson from the Anaheim Ducks. It could be someone like Connor Hollebuyck, who's been extraordinarily good for the Winnipeg Jets in his first year as the number one starter. So it really could come down to who siphons the most votes off from these guys. But I think Pekka's going to be right in the mix, and the fact that he had an incredible playoff run last year only bolsters his case.
Greg Wyshynski with us from ESPN. How about David Poile? I mean, think about this. In the NHL, typically, I mean, you see sometimes coaches fired like they're, you know, like they change their underwear. And, you know, Predators are now 20 years into their existence. They've had two coaches and one general manager. I mean, how crazy is that? And does David Poile, I know he's very, very well respected amongst the his peers around the league. Does he get enough credit outside of those rooms, though, do you think, for the job that he's done building a program that he has been able to build in a place where, you know, was a non-traditional market?
Honestly, and this has gotten me a ton of flack this week, I think he gets too much credit. I mean,
really?
There's something to be said for longevity. There's something to be said for the amount of regular season wins that he's amassed. There's a very cynical way of looking at it, and I'll take that cynical look, which is that he managed to not get fired. Now, you could say that's a virtue, and you can say that he's built some very good teams, but the bottom line is that this guy has been a general manager since the early 80s, and last year was the first time one of his teams played for the Cup. It's not just me. It's other people that have looked critically at him and said, you know, for all of the success he's had in the regular season, it's not transferred to championships. And that's the standard. For a player, it's an unfair standard. You can be a great player and not win a cup. For a coach, it's a reasonable standard. Sometimes there are things beyond your control, but our greatest coaches are the coaches that have won cups. For a general manager, where your only job is to build a champion, to have been in the game as long as he has and not have won a cup yet, I think I reserve the right to bestow the crown upon him as best GM of all time until the Preds bring home a cup.
I think if it's a failing, loyalty may have been of a failing. I say this with a heavy heart because I'm very fond of Barry Trotz, and I enjoyed the times that I got to spend with him, but I think that he just stuck with Barry Trotz too long. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's what it felt like, especially now what you see what they've done under Peter Laviolette. And some, for some of us who's watched his team for a number of years, we can't get over the fact that they come back and win games, with 4 or 5 or 6 goals if that's what they need, because it's the Predators. They either win 2-1 or they lose, period. But it hasn't been that way under Laviolette.
Right. And we had a ranking of general managers a few weeks back on ESPN. And we had a different tiers, So you have your gold standard tier of Lou Lamoriello and Jim Rutherford, guys that have cups. And then you've got another tier of guys, and I put Poile in that after a lot of internal debate, of guys that probably need a championship to cement their legacy. I know that sounds crazy when there's been this crazy love fest for Poile in the last couple of weeks with the amount of wins that he has as a GM. But he's going to end up being, a guy with a lot of regular season success and no cup to show for it if the Predators don't break through. And I tend to believe they will. the assemblage of talent here that he has in this roster, you have to assume that in the next couple of years they're going to finally win one for him. But until that time, I just have to really kind of maybe take a step back, put an asterisk on it, and say, congratulations on longevity, congratulations on building competitive teams. But there are other guys that have built championship teams, and Poile hasn't done that yet.
Those things are hard to win, though, man. We see teams that win them in clusters. That's why, people are like, well, look at Pittsburgh. They get to win 3 or 4 of them. And look at Chicago. They won 3 or 4 of them. And look at it. But it's getting that first one is tough, man.
Sure. Oh, for sure. But then, like you said, there are guys that win multiple ones. But then there are guys like Jim Rutherford, who won one, with Carolina, and then went to Pittsburgh and won 2 more, I understand that they're tough to win and championships are tough to win, but at some point we have to define exactly what greatness is for an executive. And the bottom line is the only way to measure that in the NHL is whether or not your name's on the cup as a general manager. And until that time, I think Poile is one of these guys, like a coach, who has incredible numbers and longevity and has amassed a lot of wins, but simply hasn't gotten that last, line on the resume that differentiates between the very good general managers and the greatest of all time.
I would agree with that. That's for sure. Greg Wyshynski with us from ESPN talking some puck here. Do you buy into this, the President's Cup thing being the kiss of death? Because Tampa Bay still has a point on the Preds in that. And I'm like, I don't really care if they get the President's Cup. That's worthless. That's not like winning the SEC regular season title in basketball. This is meaningless, the President's Cup. And it seems to be, if I'm just too old school, but it seems to be, it always is like if you win the President's Cup, you're automatically done. You have no chance of winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, it's usually how it works. There was only one team I was rooting for to get the President's Trophy, which was Vegas, just to see if an expansion team could pull it off. And then obviously for the fun of them, if they ever advance to the Cup Final, having that extra home game on home ice. But no, it usually is the kiss of death. To go back to your original point in the conversation, it's usually also an indication that maybe you peaked too early. The amount of President's trophies that the Washington Capitals have won versus playoff success should tell you everything you know about the effectiveness of that as being a predictor of success.
Yeah. What a battle in the West, though. This is going to be going down the stretch here with 15 games or so to go. When you look at St. Louis, Calgary, Colorado, Los Angeles, Dallas, all in the mix, San Jose, Anaheim, they're all bunched up, these teams. Even Minnesota isn't out of the woods yet. It's amazing how they're all bunched up and how many important games. It seems like every night there's two or three games that have huge implications, and we could debate the system that the NHL has for points. I don't like any points for losing anyway, but, boy, they sure have rigged it so that, you know, you got a lot of teams still in it down the stretch.
Oh, for sure. And you know, I think of those teams you just mentioned, I probably have the most faith in Los Angeles to make the cut. You know, getting Jeff Carter back from injury might have been the best deadline addition for any team in the league. And he has three goals in his first five games back. So I think that they're going to be okay. The team I'm really interested in is Calgary, to be honest with you. They only have 14 games left. Most teams in that mix have 16. If they don't make the playoffs, they got to give their first-round pick to the Islanders for the Travis Hamonic trade. So you're talking about double disaster. You don't make the playoffs. You lose all that money. You lose a shot at trying to win the cup. And then you got to pass over your first-round pick to the Islanders. So the Islanders would have two lottery picks, assuming they don't make the playoffs, in a draft with a, you know, franchise-level defenseman and Rasmus Dahlin as the top pick. So the Flames have a lot more on the line here than simply just making or missing the playoffs.
That's a good point. And, you know, the other thing that's kind of funny in the East is, you know, the Rangers. I know the Rangers tore that thing apart a little bit, but they're still within shouting distance. I mean, you know, they got the Islanders and Carolina and the Panthers between them, and the Panthers have been playing really good hockey in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, for a team that supposedly threw, you know, waved the white flag, yeah, they're still only 6 or 7 points out of this deal.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, every time you look up at the Islanders or the Rangers, you assume that they're done and they end up being within the mix. And, you know, like you said, in the Western Conference, St. Louis, I think, is another team. They trade Paul Stastny, one of their top centers, to the Winnipeg Jets. Their general manager basically says, you know, with that move that they can't, you know, he didn't think that it was going to come together and they're going to be a playoff team this year. And lo and behold, they're 2 points out or some such. So there are a lot of teams because of this parity, because nobody's really ever out of it. Unless you're a total disaster like the Senators or the Sabres or the Coyotes or the Oilers, you know, everybody's just kind of hanging around. And even if you're a team that's raised the white flag, there's still a chance you could finish in a wild card.
Greg Wyshynski with the ESPN. All right, David Backes, he gets three games for the hit on Franz Nielsen. You know, my first reaction is, you know, okay, protect yourself a little bit, will you, over there? I mean, you know, you're like totally unaware of what's going on, but – you know, as I saw it over and over again, you look at these things in slow motion, not in the, you know, hockey motion out there. It looks like we get a shoulder to the head pretty good there. Three games could cost him $100,000. Right call, or is it a little too much, or do you think they got it right?
I was surprised by three games. I thought he might get two. He's a first-time offender. You assume that they'd give him a little bit of leeway on that. But I think, you know, again, we come back to this salient point about supplemental discipline in the NHL, which is that when the NHL is facing a massive concussion lawsuit, as they are, it's almost impossible for them not to overreact and overcompensate when they have situations like this that might involve a hit to the head and a potential concussion. They have to make sure that they, you know, nail guys for it, or else, you know, that could be exhibit, you know, Z in a concussion lawsuit trial.
I do see guys act differently now. I mean, I saw and it was the Preds game, maybe, or maybe it was the Bruins and the Red Wings. I was watching both games at the same time, so they all kind of run together for me. But I saw a player, and it's because I probably took too many shots that I had myself playing hockey. But there was a time where, you know, a guy comes off and, you know, you typically would see a big hit, and you see guys really reacting to this now. It's like the puck was let go, and the guy kind of pulled up. Now, they bumped into each other, but it was that moment where back in the day, that would have been, the first thing that hit the ground would have been your shoulders, you know, you know, you see guys pulling off of hits like that once the puck is gone.
Yeah, and again, it's part of it is knowing that they can get dinged for it, and part of it is just the, you know, multi-year re-education because of the supplemental discipline stuff and the Department of Player Safety stuff, trying to teach guys, you know, the quote-unquote right way to hit.
Yeah. They did that players poll thing, and I know you analyzed it pretty closely. What was a couple of the things that were your biggest takeaways from it, from what the players had to say?
Thought it was really interesting that 77% of the players polled said they liked the current playoff format with the point system and everything else. I thought that might be a little bit you know, closer to 50-50. Was really surprised to see how many players put over Carey Price, not only as the most unstoppable goalie in the league, but they rated him fourth all time amongst goalies, tied with Ken Dryden.
Wow.
Of the Habs, which I thought was kind of a weird thing. But overall, I mean, it was Crosby winning a bunch of categories. McDavid finished winning a couple and finishing second at a couple. Kind of what you expected. Nothing super surprising. But I like that the PA does that. I think in talking to some of those guys over there at the union, they'd love to go even deeper and ask some like more pressing, controversial things. But I think they're happy with that they've gotten this level of participation from the players and don't want to squander that.
And finally, you're a doubles guy. And uh-huh. I know you're probably wearing your Taylor Hall jersey right now as we speak. 26 game scoring streak. But what do you think about the story that was written by your buddies over at NHL.com about this being equivalent to Wayne Gretzky, going 50 some odd games back in the day, 51 game, first 51 games of the 83-84 season, because of the fact that there's one goal per game scored less now than there was back then?
Yeah, those types of comparisons make me a little queasy, the era-to-era stuff. I don't quite know, if that's valid. I think it's an extraordinarily great streak. It's been sort of a thing that's lifted up the rest of the team. I talked to the Devils today at practice, and they all kind of said that, this streak is something that fires them all up when they see somebody that locked in. The interesting thing with Hall is that you have him, Anze Kopitar of the Kings, and Nathan McKinnon of the Avalanche all kind of making the same MVP case right now, being, 20-some-odd points better than the next guy on the scoring lineup and on their teams. So all three of those guys kind of have the same case, and it's going to be interesting to see if one of them, and I imagine it might be Taylor Hall based on the hype, breaks out of that pack.
Yeah. All right. Always a pleasure. Greg Wyshynski has been our guest. And, Greg, I appreciate you so much. You know that. And we'll talk some pucks next week.
Thanks, man.
It's going to be one of them nights for me again tonight. Because Flyers and Bruins, that's a must-see thing. Flyers and Bruins coming up at 6 o'clock. And then a little bit later on, it'll be the Preds and the Ducks. So it's an hour later. So you got two games there. And then you got it's going to be easy for me not to watch Carolina and Chicago because Chicago's out of it and Carolina is Carolina. But, man, Flyers and Bruins, that's just hockey night. Hockey night for the big dog. All right, let's get a break. We'll come back and get things straightened out here for the final hour right after this. It's the Tom Abraham Show, 7:30, 103.9 AM.
Spray Linex on just about anything that needs protection?
More than just like bed liners?
You got it. How about adding a non-slip grip to your axe? Or how about a park bench, a trailer, van liner, work truck, or motorcycle?
I never thought of that. You can spray something like this?
Virtually anything you can think of.
I thought you were just the best bed liner around. I had no idea.
Think outside the bed liner and Linex it. Call 256-721-1331 or stop by and see me, Susie, at Linex of Huntsville on Research Park Boulevard.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers including 47781 available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Have you ever worked at a place where they didn't want you talking about your salary? Actually, have you ever worked anywhere where they did? Unlikely. But don't you have a right to know? If only there were a simple solution. Well, now there is.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies. You can research salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more. All on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site according to Comscore total visits.
What's one of your favorite memories?
That's a tough question. Well, there was this one time I went camping with my parents in a forest back when I was maybe like 8 or 9. And I can remember one night we were laying out in our hammocks and we were just, watching the trees rustling in the wind above us and We could hear the sounds of the forest all around us. Frogs singing and owls calling and the creek running nearby. It was amazing. It felt like we were a part of it all. I don't know if I do it justice trying to describe it, but I'll definitely never forget it.
Most of us have a memory of being in nature we'll never forget. Let's protect the world's natural places so more memories can be made for generations to come. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Catholic Charities is committed to providing life's basic needs. We teach social independence and encourage our clients to want more for their lives and the lives of their families. We seek to break down the walls of division that keep our sisters and brothers excluded or rendered disposable by our society.
We thank you for bringing us all here today, letting these people understand how Catholic Charities runs and how important these people are to the people in the neighborhood. And we ask you to guide them, to protect them, and keep them here forever because this community needs them. And we ask you to bless every single person, whether they're here for help or they're an employee or a volunteer.
Visit www.catholiccharitiesusa.org to learn more.
A freeze warning in effect again tonight. The sky clear, the low in the upper 20s, around 28. Colder pockets could see mid-20s. Tomorrow a sunny day with a high at 60. Saturday increasingly cloudy with a chance of showers. Rain becoming more widespread Saturday night, the high at 61. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Now back to the big dog. This show is rough.
Charles and Decatur, the Spring Grateful Dead fans, I'd recommend the new documentary, Long Strange Trip. They touch on Pigpen and his problems and how he sometimes didn't feel a part of the group because he was the only one not doing the psychedelics. It was very, very, very good documentary. All right, so there you go. We shared that with them. We shared that with them. Buggy says, I had no idea that you were a Dead fan. We should talk sometime. I'm not a Dead fan. I like a few Dead songs. I like Shades of Grey. Is that what it's called? Was it Shades of Grey? What's the name of that one? T-Mac, you played it a little while ago.
Yeah, it was Touch of Grey. Touch of Grey?
I really, really like Touch of Grey. Touch of Grey would be in my top 50 favorite songs of all times.
Wow.
Yeah, I really... Have you ever listened to Touch of Grey, the whole song? I mean,
no.
It's just so smooth, man. Touch of Grey is really, really nice. I like that song.
This is the real, like, first taste of multiple Grateful Dead songs I've really gotten to hear.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, that their name does not sound like the music they play at all.
The Grateful Dead, I mean, the reason I'm playing the Grateful Dead is because it's 45-year anniversary of Pigpen's death at age 27. So I'm not necessarily a fan of everybody that we play when we play them. I'm not a CCR guy. You know, people are like, oh, you must be a Creedence Clearwater guy.
What?
I mean, no, I am not a CCR guy. I'm that guy. I'm that guy who is a huge, classic rock fan that is not, I don't want to say that doesn't like, but is not a CCR fan. I'm not that guy.
I'm not saying I'm that guy, like I'm a diehard CCR fan, but I would have pegged you down for one in a heartbeat.
Wow. Georgia took Missouri out.
Yeah. How about that?
Have fun, St. Louis people, the rest of the weekend. You got nothing to do now. Go cut your grass. Start tomorrow and finish on Sunday. All y'all thought you were going to get your little Missouri-Kentucky thing. It'll be Georgia-Kentucky tomorrow. Missouri had a look. Missed a three-pointer with 2 seconds left to win the game. Georgia wins 62-60. So there you go. There's your update. So two upsets to get things started. Was that an upset? Was Alabama winning an upset? I wonder what the line was on that game. T-Mac, I know you're big in the lines and the betting and everything.
I actually think I know the line of that game. I think I heard before the game it was like Bama was like a one-point dog. But I don't know that to be 100% fact, but I heard that number. It was supposed to be close.
Alabama. There, we pull it down. You already pulled it down. No. Alabama was a 3.5-point dog.
Oh, wow.
So you'd have gotten a field goal with Alabama. You didn't need it because of Colin Sexton. All right, we'll reset everything when we return. Did you know it's International Women's Day, T-Man? I don't know if you knew that or not.
Is that today?
Yeah, that's today is International Women's Day. And I got some information for you to make you look good when you go home and talk to your wife. It's Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039 AM.
They are WUMP 730 and 1039. The UMP.
Hey, gang. Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Walgreens has good news for anyone managing diabetes. We've got your back. That's right. Walgreens pharmacists are here to consult with you in person and answer any questions you may have about new and existing medications. You can even get free advice from our trusted experts day and night at walgreens.com or the mobile app. Walgreens has all major brands of diabetes testing supplies like Accucheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics. That's not just good news, it's great news. Stop by and talk to your Walgreens pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
The Tennessee Valley Golf Card is back and on sale March 26th. This year's card features a round of golf, including a card at 7 area courses and an hour session at an indoor golf simulator. Visit Gunner's Landing, Links at Redstone, Southern Gales, and Point Mallard. Enjoy a day out at these courses and more, including Pine Hill Country Club, Eagle's Nest, and Links at Briarmead. A $311 value for just $139. And also use it to perfect your swing at X Golf Huntsville. Log on to umpsports.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free. When you text the word LIKE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIKE to 797979. Text LIKE to 797979.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. Grasshopper.com/radio.
A new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel. Offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing. Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training. Great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now at a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel. On Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road. And online at bulletandbarrel.com. Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun.
What is us?
Us is a foundation.
Us is the future.
Us is a bond.
But right now, that bond is frayed.
And we need a place that could make it whole.
From diabetes prevention to safety around water.
The Y fills the gaps.
and bridges our divides.
But they can't do it without us.
Donate today.
Because where there's a why, there's an us.
Read by members of the Y.
The Y, for a better us.
Some people see a goat. At Heifer International, we see a mother able to support her growing family. Just one goat can provide a family with nutritious milk. The gift of an animal from Heifer can help a family start.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The